Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we are very lucky to have Paula Sirinsky on the show. Paula is going to talk about the difference between marketing for big law and marketing for a professional services firm. Paula is currently the Global Chief Marketing Officer for K2 Intelligence. She is responsible for driving the development and execution of marketing, communications, and business development strategy and programming on a global basis. She also participates in the identification of growth and expansion opportunities for K2 Intelligence across its offices. Welcome to the show, Paula.
Thanks, Guy. Happy to be here.
It is a pleasure having you here. So before we get started, talk a little bit about your career. Obviously, you've been on the big law side and now working for K2 Intelligence. Even though you're still in the legal industry, your approach is much broader than that. So tell us a little bit about your career and what led you to K2.
I started as a marketing person in packaged goods marketing and then gravitated into corporate communications, working ultimately for Daimler-Benz, traveling a lot and working in the corporate arena and corporate marketing. I had an opportunity to stop traveling and work for my first large law firm, which was Cadwallader, back in 2001. And it was a terrific opportunity because I was going to be doing public relations for the firm and really learn the legal space and set up a structure where we really looked at practices, at practitioners, at offices, and at the firm in general, and really looking at the lawyers as clients, just as I looked at my internal constituents at Daimler-Benz as clients as well. 15 years later, I was still in legal marketing, expanding beyond just public relations, but to marketing and business development, and having a really good time. And I'm really happy that I brought back my marketing roots to my public relations and corporate communications roots, because I think they dovetail with each other, and an integrated marketing approach is really the strongest approach. And I think that that's much appreciated by law firms, the disciplines that corporate communicators have. They read a lot, they study a lot, they learn a lot, are a little bit different than some of the disciplines in the marketing area where you find yourself doing a lot more tactical things and you're doing a lot of things over and over again. After 15 years, though, I had an opportunity to cross over to the other side, so to speak, and work for what is perceived as a vendor to lawyers. Our largest client base are lawyers. They use our services, particularly in the corporate investigation space. Our second largest user base are bankers. They folks in the financial institutions and CCOs in financial institutions come to us for regulatory compliance work. And it made sense. And so I made the trip over to the other side of things.
That's so interesting. I never knew that you were actually, I guess, in consumer products with, well, automotive at least. So it really seems that your career has gone from a product focus to a services focus, but in between, a lot of different changes have gone on. So let me ask you, from your experience, what is the biggest difference between marketing for big law and marketing for a boutique law firm?
Tremendous differences. Size really counts in law. Big law, you have so many people doing so many small tasks, and in aggregate, you have a very large department. When you go to a smaller firm, whether it be a boutique law firm or just a mid-sized or small firm, you have to really be clever and do a lot more on your own and bring in other resources that may not be employees at your firm. So you tend to collect a lot of great people that you've done work with over the years. When they travel along with you and they continue to help make you look great and do great work for your law firm, that's probably the biggest difference. Other than that, you're still connecting with, whether they're lawyers or practitioners, you're relating to them in the same way. You're developing the same types of plans. You just don't have the huge team to really let you do it. And that's a good thing because you learn more about all the pieces of the puzzle and how to really make it happen.
What you're saying is the size of the team really has a major impact. talk a little bit about that beyond, you know, how it affected you. What kind of an impact does the size of the team have on your overall marketing approach?
With a large team, you're really able to separate different tasks. So different people might handle different pieces of the puzzle. In a marketing team, one person may handle events, and one person may handle newsletters, and another person may handle PR, and another person may do the inputting of pitches. You don't have that benefit when you have a small team. One person is going to do all of those things, and on any given day, they're able to do all of those things. That makes the job, while it may seem, oh my God, how am I ever going to get it done? You have such variety of work that it's actually a nicer thing. You learn more, you're doing more, and you're seeing how all the pieces intersect with one another. For me, the most challenging part maybe is working through the CRM system, and that was the best part at Big Law. You had huge groups that just took care of that for you, and suddenly you don't. And you have to learn it, you have to know it, you have to know how to push the limits on it, and know who you have to ask in order to get things done that you may not know how to do.
In addition to the size of the team, obviously as marketing has evolved and we're now marketing in what's called a digital world, how has the skill set of the people you need to have on your team have changed? What are some of the skills that you look for in your team or that you think are critical in today's world of legal marketing and marketing in general?
I look for people to join my team who have intense curiosity in the work that we do and independently read about it and study it. I look for people that know more about my firm than I may know. I once immediately made a hiring decision because someone came in who had found an article that I could never find that was coming out about the firm I worked with because they went the distance to go through every service to come in and be really well prepared. I think that that's incredibly important to me. And when you're doing so many aspects of a job, you have to really be nimble and understand the business. I've always thought, even at Big Law, to add true value, you have to really understand what your lawyers, or in our business now, our practitioners do. You really have to know who their clients are, why what you're doing is important to them, and how we do it better. And what are the substance and steps that our team takes in order to solve our client's problem? That takes a lot of time, independent time, to really get it all together, figure it out in your head. But once you get there, you become indispensable.
So it's not so much necessarily about the skills that you come in with. It's more your willingness, desire, interest in learning as much as possible about the organization, and then applying that knowledge in all the different ways you might need from a marketing perspective. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's really true. When people, lawyers, practitioners, whoever they are, know that you know what they do, they trust you, and you become part of the team. That's a critical difference, I think, between Big Law and a boutique firm or a smaller firm. You're really able to integrate a little bit more within the teams. Here at K2 Intelligence, I integrate within the practice groups. I go to their pipeline meetings. I know what the different matters are that they're working on or they're trying to get. I know who our key clients are that we're targeting. You become part of that process.
What would you say, either today or in your past roles at law firms, what would you say is the biggest challenge that legal marketers or professional service marketers face in trying to do their job?
I think we create our own challenge when we want to do everything all at once. I think life is about decisions and choices, figuring out what you're going to accomplish your first year, getting one thing done really well. When you get one thing done really well, you'll be able to add on 2, 3, 4 things after that. Pick your battles. Your investment battles specifically. What do you want your firm to spend money on? I think that most people, when they leave Big Law and they go to a smaller firm or even to another type of professional services firm that's smaller, the very first thing they look at is the website. I think it's a really good first thing to tackle. It's an enormous project. You learn a lot. And if you do that well, then you'll be able to move on to the next project that takes a lot of money or investment to really accomplish.
And do you find that lawyers or practitioners in your case, are they more reliant today on marketing professionals like you to make critical business decisions? Do you feel that that's evolved from the way it used to be?
I think it has. I think they rely on the professionalism that legal marketers have, and certainly, you know, within K2 Intelligence, within our practice teams. I think that today marketing is really intertwined with technology. I think the more relevant technologies we bring on and we know how to use and we make them relevant to the practitioner, they realize how much more they could get from us, really utilizing a CRM, really helping them do their research, really being on point with them. So I think they are looking to us. And as you know, when I started almost 20 years ago now at my first law firm, the marketing department had a set of things that we used. And, you know, we had a lot of printed materials. Today, everything's customized. You wouldn't just go and pick up something off the shelf. You take the shelf, you find out what the current problem is and solution that you have to provide to a client, and then you customize it for them. And I think as legal marketing has evolved, everyone's gotten a lot better at recognizing that and really doing that for their practices.
Many of the people that listen to this podcast are legal marketers. I would say the majority of them working at law firms of all sizes, small firms, medium-sized firms, and big law. And many times I get emails or people communicate with me and you know, they're looking to make the switch. For whatever reason, they want to move on from a law firm and go work, you know, either as a consultant or work for a professional services firm. What advice would you give to them if they're looking to make the move? How do they bring in those skills that they've learned at the law firm? And what else do they need to know in order to make that move?
So I think that legal marketers often work for their lawyers on identifying new businesses, new practices that they should add on. What's happening in the marketplace? You're keeping up with it. What do you need to do? Like years back, everybody started looking at cybersecurity and privacy. I certainly did at my last law firm. How can you do that? What does it take? What do you need? Well, you have to do that for yourself also. You know, what is it that I can bring to a party? What is going on that makes me good to do something else? You have to do your own business development. Who do you know? Who are you talking to? What's the identifiable problem that you could solve? And why should they call you? And you have to really look at yourself as your own client. I think that if you keep your eyes open to all the possibilities and you know what value you bring, I'll be very specific. When I came here to a corporate investigations firm where most of our clients are lawyers, that I worked for 15 years at a variety of law firms, big law, boutique, that was a value to the company. I knew that it was a value to them. And I kept up with that subject matter since I've been here to know how I could continuously add that value to them. So I think if everybody's realistic about what they can do, and really deliver the best possible product that they can. You don't need a lot of clients. You need the right clients if you want to go out on your own. You want to cultivate and keep them with you for a long time. Bigger isn't better. The best people that you could work with, that you do the best work for, will stay with you forever. And they'll refer you to other people to grow your business.
That is fantastic advice. So you mentioned you now sell to law firms. Your lawyers are your biggest clients or some of your biggest clients. And obviously before you worked for law firms or worked for lawyers, how does it feel to be on the other side? What things, if you could go back that you know now as a marketer who sells to lawyers and law firms, what advice would you give to Paula that used to work at the law firm? What things have you learned that would make Paula more effective as a law firm marketer?
Well, one of the things that I probably started later on in my career was really staying in touch with different lawyers that I've worked with. If I see them in the news, I send them a note congratulating them on a move or a new client or a win. You know, not long ago, I noticed one of my former partners who's now at a different law firm than when I spoke to him had a really good win for one of his clients in court. And I sent him a note. And it changes your relationship from you work for the lawyers at your law firm to you're a business colleague, you're a professional colleague. You're not just somebody that's on another floor in another building. and keep in touch with them. And I do keep in touch with many of the lawyers that I worked with at different firms. I stay up on what they're doing, and that's what keeps us close. And I would say that I probably should have started that at my first law firm, although there are a few people at my first law firm that I do keep up with. But I think that's always important. You're a person. You're a person that's a professional. You have your level of professionalism. They'll respect that. And everybody likes to be complimented if they do something good. So, you know, really know where your people are and stay in touch with them. Also, stay in touch with the practice areas. It's okay to send emails in the morning with articles that you think people would be interested in reading, as long as you really stay focused on making sure they're getting the right things from you. You don't want to bombard them. And also share those with the other people in your department. If you see something changing in the marketplace and you're going to inform a practice about it, inform the rest of your marketing and BD team as well. You know, be a part of the process, be a part of the team. I think that that makes everybody look better and do better.
You know, I love that, because usually what I tell clients is, especially in a digital world, you know, the two most valuable things that you can offer to people is obviously relationship, right? The ability to trust someone, the ability to connect someone with someone else. And then the other thing is knowledge, you know, education, teaching people, letting people know about developments, keeping everyone up to speed. So really what you're talking about are not just important in everyday business, but as an individual, as a professional, being generous with your time, being generous with your connections, and being generous with your knowledge really end up helping you tremendously, whether you stay at the same job for your whole life or you switch jobs, you know, every 2-3 years. Building your network is so important.
It is. And Guy, you're absolutely right about that. And one other piece of the puzzle is always pay it forward. If somebody you know is no longer working at their firm, if they, you know, if their job has been eliminated, and see them, have coffee with them, share your Rolodex with them. It could be you the following year, and they'll do the same for you. And I think always paying it forward. Also with young people wanting to enter the profession. I've interviewed people that I've stayed in touch with through LinkedIn, and I'm always so delighted to see if their career is progressing. And I send them notes, and I let them know it's fabulous what they're doing. One last bit of advice is, don't have a linear path that says, I'm here and I need to be there, and I can only have these 3 steps to get there. You know, I'm a marketing coordinator today, and 10 years I want to be a CMO. No. Life isn't a straight path. It's circuitous. And really open up yourself to opportunities that come up that may take you in different directions. You'll benefit by it, and you'll have a much more rewarding career.
I couldn't agree more. I love that. All right, we're almost out of time. I do have one more question that I wanted to ask you, and that is, what do you think the future of legal marketing looks like? Obviously, there's a lot of changes going on, both within the legal industry, but also in terms of marketing. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we really do live now in a digital world, and that has changed everything. Specifically with regards to legal marketing, what do you see the future? What do you see things going in the next 3, 5, 10 years?
I think content is incredibly important. I think having the interrelationships in terms of the digital interrelationships is incredibly important. You know, using firms like yours, Guy, to really see how it all hangs together and how you can really create more focus on different areas and people is incredibly important. Something that dovetails with that is, you know, knowledge and technology. It's not enough to just do it all by hand anymore. You have to understand your technologies and stay on top of the changes in the technologies. I think that it's a really competitive world. Those firms that are looking at different ways to enhance their client base and really add value and be competitive against one another have discovered that marketing and business development people are the ticket to doing this. They transition into client development people. They really understand the business, and they're a business. And the last part is that dirty word in law firms, it's about sales. It's about closing a sale, cultivating a sale. And I think marketing and BD people have always known that, and now is their opportunity to really keep pushing it.
I love it. Well, we've run out of time. I want to thank you for being our guest. It's been phenomenal, and hopefully down the road, we'll have you back on the show. And for all of those of you that are listening, if you enjoyed the show and you want to make sure that you don't miss any future podcasts, please go to our website, utbsocial.com/podcast, and subscribe so that you don't miss any future shows. Thank you again, Paula, and everyone, have a fantastic day.